Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits. Together, we're going to dive deep into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits. We'll be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other total rewards you're offered, we've got you covered. Our aim is to empower you with the knowledge and understanding you need to make informed decisions. So join your hosts, Maggie and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits.
Hi, I'm Zach Ward, and I am your host for Hub Horan's Employee Benefits Podcast, The Benefits Beat. Today, I've got a very special guest with me, one of our clients, actually, from the Cincinnati Zoo, Jeff Walton. Jeff, thanks you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
I'm really excited for this one. I know we talked beforehand. You guys are doing a lot of exciting stuff for your employees. So you gave me a couple of guiding principles the other day, but one thing I wanted to start with, Jeff, is just kind of obviously your role in the zoo, how you're supporting employees, and then kind of the history about what we'll focus on today is the history of the wellness program, the holistic well-being of your employees, et cetera.
Okay. So I head up the HR team, so official title HR director. I've been there for about 20 and a half years. Time flies when you're having fun. And I had the great fortune of working for my employer prior to the zoo had a best-in-class wellness program. So I was exposed to it for about 4 years and really saw the great impact it could have on our employees at the time. When I came to the zoo, we didn't really have any wellness plan whatsoever. It was just everything's driven through the medical plan, you know, and we hoped people were okay. As I started digging into the details, I was getting reports of claim utilization, and I saw a report that said, you know, this vast number of employees had $0 in claims. And I shared it with our leadership team, and they said, hey, that's awesome. I'm like, you're reading this the wrong way. This means they have any idea. They're not going to their annual exams, anything like that, right? They don't know their numbers. So anchoring into that and tying it to the business purpose, which is key for any successful wellness strategy long term, we launched a health fair focused on biometric screens. Starting small, I asked for a little faith and trust from my leadership team. Mm-hmm. We added a financial incentive to participate.
And when you say biometric screening, you're just talking about, hey, go get your blood work done.
Yeah, the finger stick. Yeah, we brought a company in to do it. We had some partner vendors come just for information. Could have been stuff to do for a healthy lifestyle. Yeah. Could have been whatever the case may be. And if you did that and you know participated properly or fully, I was going to give you a $20 bill walking out the door. To which our executive team was like, "What on earth are you doing?" And I said, you got it. And this is what happened at my former employer. Theirs was 25. And I said, just have some faith. Let's play this out. And the response was phenomenal. And to the point where our executive director came into the health fair one day and he's talking to me and he kind of pauses and he looks around and he's like, I have never seen this many people from all over the zoo in a room at the same time, unless it's like an all-employee meeting. There was a lot of energy. There was a lot of buzz. There was a lot of cross communication. He's like, this is pretty cool. And I was like, all right, you know, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. You see the benefit of this besides what's happening. So it's become kind of like a cultural phenomenon for us where we now have employees. This is now 17 years later saying, hey, when's the health fair? Can't wait. You know, that type of thing. So we started small. The data we got allowed us to focus on the aggregate data from our partner. As an example, that first year, issues with cholesterol was our number one thing. So we launched an education campaign on managing cholesterol. Mm-hmm. The next year, that went from number one to number seven. The next year, it was hypertension. You see where I'm going? So we use that data to then meet our employees where they were and you know, kind of anchor into that.
I think that goes twofold, too, that obviously you as an employer and cost and all that good stuff, but you're also addressing, okay, the employees are seeing these issues. How can we help them manage XYZ, hypertension,
exactly.
Cholesterol, et cetera?
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't focused on the claims. Our claims were going to go up.
Right.
But those are good claims, mm-hmm. right? And so it was more about, you know, I had some employees say, one employee came and said, my wife told me to thank you because she couldn't get me to go to the doctor and I had no idea. And now I know I have high cholesterol. So now I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to, you know, and cholesterol is no longer a problem. So it's those little things where it's like, you know, you're doing it for the right reason, right? You're doing it to care for your employees. Yes, there is, you know, the executive team wants to know what's the cost benefit, mm-hmm. but the more we can promote preventative well-being, the more we're going to save in the long run.
And you mentioned to me a few days ago, but you also mentioned it a couple times early in this podcast, is leadership, right? Is the buy-in, and you guys have an awesome executive leadership team, but I think you've pointed it out a couple times to me of, yes, there is a component of it as it's just cost, that's what's to spend, but more importantly, it's about the employee and taking care of the employee versus how do I save money or what's the investment that I'm making in them. You guys have seemed to take the step of, yeah, we're going to take the investment and we understand that, but you've got the buy-in of your leadership team to say, this is very, very important to us and very, very important to our employees.
Yeah, agreed. Without that buy-in, I don't think we'd be as successful as we are. I would say, you know, when I think of holistic well-being, that's everything from leadership development to, I mean, anything under the sun, because, you know, as we were talking about the other day, kind of the, you know, if I had to put a statement up on the wall, it's, you know, we want to do whatever we can. Employers are caregivers of their employees. It is what it is, right? They look to us for help. They look to us for guidance. It's a busy world. It's littered with information. Please help me figure out what I can do to help myself. And if we can help develop, support, grow our employees in a way so they're the best version of themselves wherever they are, community, home, job, whatever they're doing, everybody wins. And out of that, we get a well-balanced, thriving employee. We want people to thrive in life. It's not about, you know, as we were talking about before, hey, all those problems in life, you got to leave them in the parking lot when you get out of your car. No, we're all in it together because mm-hmm. we're carrying our personal lives to work and we're carrying our work lives back home.
I really appreciated how you put it the other day of you want people to be the best version of an employee they can, but you also, more importantly, probably want them to be a better spouse, a better child, a better brother, sister, community member, et cetera. That to me was what really stuck out of. You view that as the way to make your employee the best version of themselves, but other things contribute to that outside of work.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about, you know, if I asked 10 people, what are the different buckets of well-being? You know, we'd probably have a list of 15 or 20, right? And you think about, you know, the typicals, the nutritional, physical, emotional, financial, all those things. You know, there are, at any time in our lives, there are things that are going well and things that aren't. And that's affecting us at work, at home, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's tough to, you know, be a jack of all trades and master of none, but we try to provide enough in those main areas to provide that support. I think we've, as we'll get to probably here shortly, we've really anchored in, coming out of COVID, the mental health support for the household, not just the employee.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit. I know we've talked about a few. You have EAP, you have some different solutions for your employees. Talk to me about, first off, EAP. I think that's the one that people are most familiar with. You mentioned it. Family members are eligible to go as well. You guys are at the maximum. Just tell me a little bit about kind of how your plan is designed.
Yeah, so employee assistance programs, EAPs. The HR is nothing but a world of acronyms. It's a great program. We partner with TriHealth here locally. We've been with them for quite some time. That is a program where employees and members of their household, including children who are away at school, can call for free confidential support. There are many models you can buy into. It's an employer-paid service. It's very cost-effective and, unfortunately, very underutilized across the board. Typically, it's, you know, 3, 5, 7, 10 visits. We have the 10 visits. It's 10 visits per issue per year. So you can have different issues competing. It could be marital counseling. It could be family dynamics. It could be a kid being bullied at school, whatever the case may be.
So just to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. So if I have, hey, I need to go to marriage counseling, mm-hmm. I would have 10 visits for that particular incident and then separate.
So during COVID, the health plans waived their copays for mental health visits. And coming out of COVID, they reinstated them. And as a self-funded employer, we said, no, we're going to keep them the same way. So it is free for our employees to use EAP to go to a counselor through our medical plan, their family members, et cetera. So we want to remove all the barriers for this. Time is a barrier. Access is a barrier. Finances is a big barrier. Mm-hmm. So we want to remove whatever we can control. The thing we did on top of that, understanding that, you know, it's not just about mental health counseling. We started looking at other programs to support, again, the total employee in their household. And we came across a platform called Modern Health.
Would you mind if I pointed something out on the EAP part? I know TriHealth is really, really good about mm-hmm. this. Triaging is always the most difficult part of the EAP.
Yeah.
So you talk about the 10 visits per incident per year. Once you hit that number, TriHealth will actually work with you to find an in-network provider. So you can continue, okay, we need 5 more visits, et cetera. To your point, it's still going to be some small copay, or you guys have waived the copay, so completely free to employees.
Yeah.
But they help you continue that coverage, so they're not just saying, hey, this is your 10th visit, you're done, you're cut off.
No, that's a great call. I'm glad you pointed that out. They'll even do that earlier in the process. If they'll say, hey, it seems like you need a long-term relationship, you know, we're at visit 3, let's sync you up with somebody who's covered under your health plan.
And we can continue the 7 more visits. We just want to make sure that moving forward, we're not losing track of this issue. We want to make sure you're getting the care you provided.
Yeah, and there, it is really hard for people to find a provider they trust and then to have to find another one.
Mm-hmm.
That usually people pull back and they're just like, you know, I'm just going to fall back to what I'm dealing with and hope I can manage.
Exactly.
So I'm glad you pulled that
Sorry
out.
To cut you off.
No, that was great.
So Modern Health, you're talking about kind of the evolution of the EAP and you found Modern Health, I think, last year.
Correct.
Implemented it.
Yeah, we launched it late summer.
Okay.
Modern Health, and I'm sure there are other platforms like it. It's the one we landed on. It's a platform where, again, you can kind of carve it out however you like. We provide up to 6 mental health counseling visits per year and 6 coaching visits per year per person in the house, including all the dependents. Coaching could be on anything from finances to life coaching, career coaching, whatever the case may be. And it's a platform where it really gives the employee, the end user, as much control as possible over provider selection. So you log in, you enter, you know, what are the things that I'm looking for? What are the things I'm looking for in a provider? It could be gender, it could be language preference, it could be, you know, specialties, all these things. And this is basically like the telehealth format of eyeballs to eyeballs on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
If I have I have minor dependents at home, child, a daughter, I can send it to her and say, you now have permission to use this program. It also has things like, this is something I really found wonderful, community circles. Oftentimes you see those on Facebook. Somebody has a serious health condition, a chronic condition, and it's the power of the community of people who are dealing with those same circumstances, supporting each other. You can do that within the Modern Health platform, not just with people at the employer. There might not be anybody from the employer.
Right.
It's from people all over the country who use Modern Health. So you're getting support from all over the place, all centered through this one app on your phone. They've got, you know, daily meditations, all kind of, you know, the things like you see from Calm,
Headspace,
better help, you know, all better up. So it, you know, utilization has been pretty strong. You know, again, with anything, you know, all of our employees have a job to do. I think one of our biggest challenges is how do we stay on top of making sure they understand what they have access to and remind them without, oh, here's another email from HR, right? Because then it just goes silent. You know, people are like, oh, this is the 10th email from HR about mental health. Because typically people will reach out and say, hey, what was that information on EAP?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, did you save any of the five emails I sent this year? And that is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So we put a lot of things on our intranet, but we can't, I really feel like it's our obligation, especially from the HR team, to make sure that people understand the resources they have available to them whenever they need them.
And it sounds like you guys have taken that, what I see from a lot of employers is they might have this one resource available for wellness, EAP, et cetera. You guys have multiple across different platforms, different ways to communicate, different ways to choose who your provider is. It sounds like you guys are taking that the one step farther to where it's not just another email once a year where, hey, we've got the EAP, check the box. You guys are really saying, hey, we want you to actively participate in these. If you need them, one of the things that we always scream to our listeners is that employers are offering these benefits because they want you to use them. They want you to,
correct,
to your point, be the best version of yourself, of spouse, of child, et cetera. These are there for your utilization, not just for the employer to say, hey, we offer them.
Yeah, it's not a check the box. It's at please all. Use them. We're spending money on them. We want you to use them. We want you to use the heck out of them, right? I would love to hear EAP say, man, you guys are overwhelming us.
We need to raise your prices. We need to charge right. you a little more.
Yeah, now part of it's like, well, what's going on?
Right, yeah. Right.
But yeah, and it's providing training and resources to our supervisory team so that they know, hey, you seem to have something going on. How do I talk to you about it? You know, do you know about these resources? Pushing them to HR if they don't, you know, all that type of stuff. So we literally have a mental health spot on our intranet just dedicated to it. Like, here are all your resources. We have posters up around the organization, things like that, with all awesome. Those things we've talked about so far, including QR codes to immediately go hit it.
Jeff, you mentioned, I want to pivot a little bit to something that you just talked about. You talked about community groups and different ways to connect with employees versus maybe your HR professional or leadership, et cetera. One of the things that you guys are trying to build out here in the next 12 months or so is something that you called the Hope Squad. Give me a little overview of that. I think it's a really cool thing, and I think it goes to some of the uniqueness of being a zoo and the challenges that your employees are addressing. So just tell me a little bit about what your Hope Squad is kind of aiming to do.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's not...
I like the name.
I love the name. I love the name, and it wasn't my original. It was actually from somebody I was talking to, and their daughter's high school had it. So they're... And you see that in high schools where they've got students who are receiving more training to be a better resource for their, you know, their classmates. So the idea would be... to get this decentralized a little bit so people don't have to, there's still a stigma coming to HR. Mm-hmm. I think we do a great job of it at the zoo. I think people understand, hey, if I'm struggling, you know, I know where to go for help. But oftentimes people don't really ask for help until they've really, I don't want to say hit bottom, but they've been struggling for quite some time. Right. Well, the people who are going to see that before anybody else are their coworkers. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you seem different. What's going on? So the idea of the Hope Squad would be to have a group of employees cross-departmental all over the organization go through training, not to become a counselor, but, you know, it might, for example, be mental health first aid training, which I went through. We had a cohort go through at the zoo, and I found it wonderfully helpful and has enabled me to have a couple conversations with people who are really struggling in a safe way. Mental health first aid training, some other, you know, empathetic listening, all that type of stuff, and say, you know, I'm here to support you, and I want to remind you of what your resources are so they can hopefully get access to things sooner than later and remove that barrier of me going to HR.
Right.
You know, we're in a separate building. Hey, I got to go talk to HR. Ooh. You
know? Yeah.
It's like, I want to remove that stigma. And
I think you guys are, again, kind of back to the uniqueness. A lot of your, what I would consider coworkers, are animals. You've been caring right. for this animal for 30, 40 years. You mentioned it to me. You have either yeah. the death of an animal or yeah. going through something health-wise, et cetera. You can't talk to the animal, right? You have to have somebody, somewhere to go. And I think this might be the perfect way to address that moving forward.
Yeah. You know, there's a phrase that's really, you know, it's got a lot of momentum in the zoo industry. It's called compassion fatigue. And you hear a lot of that in the healthcare industry and the first responder industry. And it's that you can be dealing with, you know, struggling health-related issues. And for us, it's with our animals. Mm-hmm. for quite some time. It could also be you're a caregiver of an ailing parent or whatever the case may be. So, you know, trying to make sure that we are connecting with our employees, making sure we understand what's impacting their life, so we can respond timely. You know, for example, you know, we lose an animal that we've had in our collection to you know, old age. That's like losing a pet. You know, these people have cared for it for so long. They love these animals. And, you know, we've had instances where we have brought grief counselors on site at the zoo to work with that team and work with the other folks that might have been close to, you know, to that animal as well. So
I think it's even in the dynamic. Community. Even the community has these ties to these animals. I know we get stuff from Fiona yearly about, you know, Merry Christmas, et cetera.
Yeah.
These caregivers are taking the part of the community and, hey, this is our friend at the zoo. We go and see them two or three times a summer, whatever. Losing that is like part losing a piece of the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And one a decision the zoo made a number of years ago was to just lean into transparency, because there's so many people who follow these animals, who love these animals. And there are a lot of lessons about the life cycle. My daughter's learned a lot about the life cycle being, you know, growing up at the zoo. But, you know, we want to share that story and give the public that opportunity to grieve with us. And it's amazing the support that our teams receive from the public, whether it's via our social media channels, or I'll walk through a keeper area and there's baskets of food and stuffed animals and everything, you know, thinking of you. I mean, it's just amazing the support that we have from our community. We can't do what we do without the greater Cincinnati area.
That's a good little segue into the next one. You mentioned me, you have all these different resources and holistic well-being, but one of the things that's really important to you guys is making, obviously it's a job, but making the job a fun process of, hey, you're doing a really cool job. You're being a part of this great community. Yeah. How do you guys make sure, hey, this is a job, but it's also, we want to make sure it's fun and it's a community. And
that's a great point. To me, it's all connected. You can't do well-being without understanding it has to be part of your culture. And that's support from the executive team, the leadership team. But we have had a number of things grow out over time. You know, oftentimes all the fun events, you know, what's HR, you know, is it coming out of HR or whatever? We've empowered people. We call it mojo at the zoo, which of course everybody from the old days is like Austin Powers. You know, it's like, no, it's mojo. It's energy. It's that positive connection. It's that momentum working towards things in a positive way. Life is hard. Let's have some fun while we're here. And like you said, this is work. So we have a number of things. One of the things that we started, and we got a committee, you know, committees, sometimes there are too many committees in any organization, right? We've got a group of people together about this idea and we call it Field Day. And it was basically like a zany Olympiad, if you will. And so we had a group of employees get together and we said, you know, what are these fun events we can do towards the end of the day? People can, you know, get teams together, dress up, all this type of stuff. And we had like the most fun one for me was watching the human version of Hungry Hungry Hippo. Oh, so we had people on dollies and you're holding their feet and they've got little laundry baskets and they're trying to get all the balls together. And people are just going nuts. And you're looking around like, this is awesome, right? Mm. So we had like six or seven different events, you know, food, you know, drink, everything. And just celebrating time together. Over time, other things have grown, including a group of folks at the zoo, not surprisingly, like to get out in nature. And so there's a group, they are called the Adventure Club. Everybody's invited to come to these meetings, but they basically schedule out things based on the group's interest. They've gone whitewater rafting in West Virginia. They've gone camping up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. All these different things and you know, you'll hear about it and people go, oh, that was great. It doesn't suit everybody based on what's going on in their life. But it's another example of we spend a lot less time asking for permission and pushing to see if things will connect. And Field Day, again, they ask for it now. Adventure Club, those are things that are now kind of part of the thread that works through our organization. And you'll have maybe, I think there are probably like 110 people on the Adventure Club email thread. You know, maybe 20 go to this next event.
Right.
Maybe 50 go to another. There might not all be the same people. So again, we're creating those connections and collisions, if you will, with people that mm-hmm. you might not see during your normal day, which helps build that culture and actually helps you work more effectively too, right? If I know somebody in another department, I have a relationship, I'm going to be more effective working with them in my job. So it's all of those things that we've tried to do over time. And it could be, like when the football season starts and everybody's excited about the Bengals now every year, which is awesome.
Yep, which
it wasn't always
perfect.
The case, right? We'll have a, like last year we had a taco tailgate. So we had it out, lunch fully paid by the organization. Everybody come up and we're sitting under our shelters. Everybody's all together. And, it's 2 hours worth of just sitting, and some people dress up in Bengals gear. Some people don't. That's not the point. It's sharing space together, sharing some food.
Yeah.
So we do a number of things like that. When they made the playoffs, we did a Skyline tailgate, in January. So it was inside. It was like 10 degrees out, but. Yeah, so it's just those fun things. It's amazing how food can bring people together, mm-hmm. no surprise there, and bring them joy in just the conversations. So, yeah, and we've even changed how our employee meetings are structured to work some fun and engaging conversation within the teams, so it's not just a lecture. It's
right.
let's learn together, let's support each other.
Well, Jeff, obviously you guys are doing some really cool things. I wanted to get a little bit to... You mentioned intranet, you mentioned HR teams, you mentioned mm-hmm. coworkers, et cetera. If you were to leave people on where to access this information, a couple places that you'd point out.
Internally at the zoo, our intranet is called The Vine. So
fitting.
Yes. We've branded our intranet, our SharePoint site, on The Vine. So, at the zoo, you would go to The Vine, and literally there's a link directly to it from the main page. That's how important it is to us. So it'll take them right to the HR site, but it's right there at it. Additionally, it's posted in every building if people need support. And then, of course, all of our employees, we just continue to educate them on what's available. So, we just try to get it front of mind as much as we can, including what we haven't talked about, like, the wellness platform, like Vitality, to earn points and things like that. So those things are successful because employees are hyping it up, if you will, to other employees.
And then you always have the access to our engagement team as well. If you have any questions around
absolutely
health plans or
yeah.
these different platforms, et cetera, you can reach out to them. And I always say that they're 8 of the most empathetic people that I've ever met, and very, very helpful.
But Jeff, if I could, I don't want to let that point go without a little back, a little support of it. The Hub team, they have been such a great partner since we started several years ago. And you're right. When, we are a small HR team, and to have that, we've underutilized that resource in the past. We changed health plans because we had to, because Humana got mm-hmm. on the market. So there's a lot of new things coming our way. And we are, I'm not saying pushing, we are nudging people towards the engagement team, and they've been fantastic. So it is a great resource for employers, and they're so responsive. So from the director of a team of 4 with hundreds of employees, that's a resource that's pays for itself quickly.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate your time. Thank you again so much for coming. Really exciting for me just to learn about what you guys are doing. Really cool to hear, and I'm sure your employees appreciate it as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document, your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative. Thanks for tuning in today. Our suggestion box is always open, so if you have a question you would like us to answer or a topic you would like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram at @TheBenefitsBeat. And remember to subscribe on your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode, and be sure to follow us on social media for more benefit tips and tricks.